About a year ago, I had put out a call on my social media accounts for possible guests on The Wildlife. I got thousands of responses. I did dozens of interviews. And I've only done a handful of episodes. It has been a year, to say the least. I mean, it has been a year. And it continues to be days. Just days. And so over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be working on getting the last of those interviews out to all of you. I owe it to you. I owe it to the people I had as guests. Today is one that I'm so especially excited about, because about a year ago when I put out this call and I was getting all these messages of people saying like, hey, I'd be interested. I'm scrolling through their social feeds and kind of looking at what they do and who they are. And I'm scrolling through one feed in particular and I stumble across a photo of an animal that I had never heard of before. I couldn't even tell you what it was. At first, it looked like something drawn by a kid who only kind of vaguely remembered what a kangaroo looked like, but it was real. And the photo was stunning. It was from Jay Meredith, today's guest. Jay is a zoo and wildlife photographer, and he's been on this quiet, astonishing, brilliant mission documenting over 1,000 animal species across zoos, aquariums, and conservation facilities. Not just to say that he did it, but to get people to see these animals, truly see, to know them, to care. And I mean that literally. His goal is to help people fall in love with creatures they may have never even heard of. Because the truth is, you can't protect what you don't know exists. This episode is about photography, yes, but it's also about wonder. It's about why a tiny, odd-looking turtle you've never met might matter more than you think. It's about storytelling. It's about the quiet power of noticing. About how one person, a camera, and a lot of patience can build something bigger than a photo album. This is The Wildlife. I'm Devin Boker. Let's go meet Jay.
Hi, name's Jay Meredith. I'm a professional zoo and wildlife photographer, and I've been doing this for about well over 4 years now, just going from different institutions across the East Coast, from as far north as Philadelphia to as far south as Miami, and just recently, Lincoln Park Zoo, one of the top prestigious AZA institutions in the U.S., to photograph my 1,000 species of animal.
Ooh, what was the 1,000?
That was the aardvark.
Wait, I'm sorry, the aardvark? Like the A-A-R-D-V-A-R-K, like Arthur the aardvark, the African ambear, the placeholder, the first word in the dictionary, the last surviving member of the family, Oryctoropodidae, in the order Tubulidentata, the brilliant question mark of a creature that looks like the amalgamation of a wallaby, an armadillo, and a pig, aardvark?
The aardvark.
Oh, okay, just checking.
A kind of a spur of the moment situation where I was counting the species that I was documenting, and I realized that I was at 999, which was the Valacious Turaco, which is a gorgeous species, by the way. And I worked with the zookeepers to formulate a plan to hopefully get the aardvark out of its exhibit, and it worked out perfectly.
So here's the thing. Before all of this, Jay wasn't just a photographer. He was a zookeeper.
Small ZAA institution in Northern Virginia named Nova Wilds. Beautiful institution, and glad I was able to work with them.
And when COVID hit, he pivoted.
Started pursuing different avenues, and one of those avenues was photography.
But the why stayed the same. Jay wanted people to care not just about lions and tigers, but about the echidna, the pangolin, the machi tree kangaroo, those creatures most of us never see or even knew existed.
That's what I strive for. Just being able to get people to not fear an animal, or there would be times where people walk up to me and ask, hey, I've never heard of a machi tree kangaroo, your photo. I used being able to see that animal firsthand was incredible. I didn't even know they existed.
That sentence right there, that's the spark of wonder. That is the moment someone's brain rewires itself just a little. That is how caring starts, with awe.
That's a huge conservation thing. And just being able to document those species and then show it to people and then be like awestruck that that thing exists, that it's on the same planet, that the sable antelope, it's called the lion killer, and people didn't even know that thing exists. And I went to Miami to go photograph that, or the gaur.
Okay, I have to stop here. A gaur? That's, wait for it, a cow on steroids. That's Jay's description, not mine, but it's so accurate I can't not repeat it. And yes, they are real. Massive Indian wild cattle built like tanks, but with the eyes of a gentle giant. Look them up right now. I'll wait.
They are incredible.
How did you determine your order and which animals you photographed when? I know you said the thousands was kind of on a whim, but were they all kind of on a whim? Just what was, you know, at the location, or did you have kind of a plan to this?
So yes and no. When it comes to animal photography as a whole, and you can talk to a zoo photographer and a wildlife photographer or a dog pet photographer, each area that it's always going to be unpredictable. There will be moments where you're going to see an animal immediately that no one has seen for like hours, or you'll wait 4 hours crisscross applesauce at an exhibit waiting for a small cat that never showed up. But when it comes to institutions, it varied because I wanted to make sure that each facility that I went to had one, the not right species, but the ones that could be the most impactful and would also be the easiest to get to. Well, I'm based in South Carolina at the moment in Charleston area. So traveling to Philly was a little bit of a stretch one for me, but they had the Guam kingfisher over there. And that was a species that I really wanted to get in the archives. I wanted people to know about. That's a species that's extinct in the wild, but recently just got reintroduced. But it's nowhere in the Southeast. There's no institution in the Southeast, from my knowledge, that houses the species. Same thing with the Machi Street kangaroo. Only place you can get to that may have it is Zoo Miami. Zoo Tampa is another one. And I had to travel down that far to get that species, along with other ones. But each species that I photographed is very impactful, and it has its own story to tell. Each one is unique. When it comes to which ones I can get, that becomes a little bit difficult. I went to Zoo Miami to get the kiwi bird, and sadly, it wasn't on exhibit. They were building an exhibit for it, so I couldn't add the kiwi to the archives, sadly. But in doing so, I was able to get the African wild dog and the dole. And the dole was actually, there's only two institutions left in the U.S. that house the dole, and that would be Bronx Zoo and the Wilds in Columbus, Ohio. The dole passed away, sadly, in Zoo Miami last year, or the beginning of this year. So I was thankfully able to get the old gentleman before he passed away.
Doles are beautiful. There's just something about them. I love them so much. The color, there's just
the fact that they can whistle to communicate with each other in the wild is, I've never, like Papua New Guinea seen any dog. Yeah, you got that guy. It's an amazing dog. But a dole being able to, it's like echolocation. And that's the coolest part.
I know picking favorites is always really, really challenging and really, really hard. And people ask me all the time, they're like, hey, what's your favorite animal? And I'm like, whichever one I'm currently reading about usually is my favorite. And then tomorrow it'll be something different. Do you have one that you photographed that you would just say was your absolute standout favorite to photograph?
Ooh, all right. That is a tough one. I'll give you that. The one that was the most impactful for me. That is a tough one, honestly. Yeah, I remember. So there was a species of, I went to Turtle Survival Alliance and I went to their offsite institution to document their species. A lot of them are critically endangered animals based in mostly Asia. So they're going through a difficult time right now with the species that live there. Now, one animal that I photographed, their Burmese mountain tortoise, their Indian star tortoise, Rhode Island snake neck, those species, they were beautiful. Honestly, I was really excited to see all of them. But after I finished documenting the species, there it is. There was one that I was very curious about that I wanted to know more of. And it was he is the last individual, I believe, in AZA facilities. Now, he's not the last individual in the world, I want to say that. He's the species is found in a small lake area in Alabama, and that species is called the flattened musk turtle. I believe, actually. Let me check just in case. Yes, flattened musk turtle. The Turtle Survival Alliance has one male, and the species is critically endangered, and they're the only endemic species in Alabama. And they're only like this a small guy. Just, you can probably fit him in the palm of your hand. He's just this small little guy, and just looking at him and documenting him on a white backdrop, he was beautiful. And yes, he's not the most appealing little turtle. He's got like a pig nose kind of look to him. And he's like more of a soft shell kind of guy. But just being able to see him and realize that there are people that love him and actually appreciate him, but they're a small group. And I want more people to realize that he exists, that he needs protection, he needs saving. And if no one looks out for him, he's just gone. People aren't going to realize that he existed, similar to Caribbean monk seal, stellar sea cow, the big animals that have gone extinct, thylacine. Everyone talks about that nowadays with colossal bioscience and all that jazz.
Yeah.
But why not focus on a species that we currently have now that we can save? And that flattened musk turtle, that little guy, he was beautiful. And I'm glad that I was able to photograph him.
You see this here, this story, this is why I love Jay, a tiny, critically endangered turtle, the only one of its kind in an AZA institution. Jay photographed him alone, not flashy, not famous, but important, and that's the difference. Jay doesn't just chase the most Instagrammable creatures, he's building a record of the overlooked, of the nearly gone, of the ones who matter even if we don't know their names.
One of the things that I really like about your pictures is like there's a solid mix between like there's some where you would, if without reading the caption or looking maybe very closely, even sometimes looking really closely, you can't tell in all of them that they are captive animals. And then you also have a lot where it's like this hint, this like aura of like, oh, you can kind of pick up on that as a captive animal. Cause like I'm thinking of one in particular of an orangutan that I saw.
Yes.
Where,
yeah,
I remember that one. It's just gorgeous. And then you can kind of just faintly see the chain link, you know, around it from the focus. And it's just so beautifully done. This like balance between like the wildness of this animal, but it's also in captivity and kind of both of those elements being so visible.
Sounds an incredible story.
Really beautiful work. Yeah. Yeah. How do you, you know, with this project, with these photos, I mean, what is your hope in terms of how it might impact people, their view on these animals, their view on conservation as a whole?
So education is my forefront when it comes to doing my photography. Most of the time when you look through when I look at other photographers, and no hate to them, no slander, nothing like that. No one in particular. It's just whenever I see other types of photography, I just see an image. That is it. Nothing else, no context, not the animal itself. There's no information given about that species. Sometimes you can tell, it's like, oh, that's a lion, that's a tiger. Yes, you see those animals. But then you look at a specific bird species and you're like, what is that? There's no details. With the information I give out, I want people to see the beauty of the animal, but also learn about it, the information underneath. So Kagu, for instance, it's a flightless species of bird. It's white, but there are only 7 institutions left in the world that house the species. White-bellied pangolin, same thing. North America, I believe, is the only institution that houses the animal, and there's only one institution that has them on display, and that's Brookfield Zoo in Chicago. So being able to educate is the biggest forefront of why I do what I do. Photographing species, yes, 1,000 species is the number, but how many of those animals are you going to remember when you see those photos?
Yeah.
And yeah. Another thing is potentially working with the National Geographic, Smithsonian, BBC in the future is a portfolio, so to speak. Yes, education is important, but I would also like to reach more of a larger audience with potential work in the future with Smithsonian or National Geographic or BBC Earth.
Are there any like unique challenges to photographing captive animals?
There are some. A lot of the time, it's not really what makes it easier compared to wildlife photography is your animal is in somewhat of a controlled setting. I put that in quotation marks for the reason of an animal can choose whether or not to stay, be outside or inside of its exhibit, because there are different enclosures for animals like snow leopard. I went to Lincoln Park Zoo a couple days ago and photographed their snow leopard. Now, it was sleeping and resting. I wanted to see if there was an opportunity to get action movement. And I come back later on and the animal is no longer on exhibit. It's inside of its holding pen where it's getting comfortable AC and relaxing. So there will be times where an animal won't show up, or there will be times where lighting can be weird, because in controlled settings, you're no longer dealing with sun or the mother nature as a whole, which is nice. But at the same time, you're now going based off of the animal's personality, what they want to do. Because whether I'm working with the zookeepers or private breeders, the biggest thing I never want to do is stress out the animal. The less stress on the animal, the better. So whatever the animal wants to do, whether it wants to sleep, I take a photo of it. Whether it wants to move around, take a photo of it. If it wants to do the thing with another of the opposite gender, maybe I'll take a photo of it. But all in all, it's really the challenges, I would say, is just patience. Being ready for anything. And like I said earlier, whether you're a pet photographer, wildlife photographer, zoo photographer, always be ready for the unexpected.
The patience of a god, Jay says. And honestly, yeah, whether you're photographing a nocturnal pangolin under red lights or waiting 4 hours for a snow leopard to show up, you need serious dedication. Zoos are complicated, but they're also powerful. Done right, done ethically and scientifically, they can be lifeboats for entire species. The scimitar horned oryx, the American bison, these are comeback stories because of zoos. Jay's photos remind us what's at stake and what's possible.
Any captive animal is never going to be like their wild counterpart for a number of reasons. One of those is wildlife as a whole, they are more on the instinctive side. They are more trying to survive, thrive. There's not an opportunity to thrive with certain species, of course. But in a captive environment, they don't have to worry too much about where they're gonna find the next meal. If there's competition of sorts, they are more able to relax in a weird way. I'm not trying to, there's a term for it. But the point is that whenever I try to capture an animal in a zoo, I want to make sure that I'm capturing just the animal, not the people involved, anything like that, because the photo is meant to be about the animal. And yeah, there are certain behaviors that will be more on the lines of a tamer manner, where an animal is doing positive reinforcement, training behaviors, enrichment ideas. So sometimes they'll document stuff like that, but trying to find the balance between an animal reacting to a positive reinforcement or an animal just trying to go about its day in its exhibit, grazing, or just running around checking its territory.
What, I guess, then, like, overall message that you're trying to send with your work, is there an overarching message, or does it kind of vary depending on which animal it is that you are showcasing at that time?
It depends on each animal, to be fair, because I've documented species out in the wild. Tamanim's bottlenose dolphin is a species of dolphin that's native to South Carolina, and they do a behavior called strand fishing. I went last year to document it, and within that, I did education on the behavior that's really unique just to them. And it wasn't really centered around conservation per se, but just an educational aspect. Whereas for zoological institutions and zoological conservation, I strictly stuck with IUCN Red List and making sure that the animals themselves got the attention of their wild counterparts. So with zoo and wildlife, zoo conservation, I focus more on the science aspect and educational side of things, where zoos as a whole are seen in a positive light, whereas social media and television has painted them in a bad light over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The zoos are one of those things where it's just like, you never really know which way the conversation is going to go sometimes. But, you know, There's a lot of zoos, especially that, of course, obviously the AZA certified ones. I mean, they do a lot of very, very good work in terms of conservation. Yeah. And so I know there's all kinds of like ethical debates and considerations and things, but, you know, as long as enrichment and the well-being of the animal and things are front and center and stuff, I mean, they're doing really good work. They're doing very good.
No, I agree.
Is there anything that people can do to help support your work?
Support wise, just follow my Instagram. Photos with Jay is the name, and just enjoy the photos. Just love the animals, love the facilities that they are at, and just really grow a love and attachment for those specific animals. It's not a Machi street kangaroo. His name's Banyan. He's at Zoo Miami. Aardvark's name's Patsy. There are different animals that I would love for you guys to meet, and hopefully I can help with that while you guys view my work and see the photos that I take.
He calls it the Animal Archives, and it's growing. 1,000 species is just the beginning. Jay wants to photograph them all. Ringtails, aardvarks, numbats, kiwis, and even the elusive three-toed sloth.
For people that don't know what a numbat is, so picture a dwarf mongoose with a really long snout, really big ears, and has a body of like stripes of a zebra running down its back a little bit, and has a really long tongue. That is a numbat.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks and sounds like a Pokemon. Yeah.
Yes. No, they are so weird, but we love them. We love them in this establishment. And another species that I would love to photograph would be the Japanese sero, which is... it is really difficult to describe, but you gotta hear me out on it. It's a type of, it's an ungulate, and to native to Japan, they have spiraled horns. They're a goat, I believe. They're just a really weird animal.
So how can you help? Start by looking, start by noticing. Visit your local zoo, support the right ones. The AZA and ZAA accredited facilities doing real conservation work, and follow Jay seriously. His Instagram is photos_with_j_108. His work is incredible. His mission is vital, and the Animal Archives, they're just getting started. He's now at 1,285 species, with the African wildcat being the most recent addition. And since the recording of this interview, he's also become a certified master naturalist in South Carolina. And as for the wildlife, if you would like to support this show, the blog, the work, the SciComm, the social media, the advocacy, all of that stuff, you can do that at patreon.com/thewildlife for as little as $1 per month. You can also join as a free member and still get access to some things like the newsletter. And of course, wander often, wonder always, and never stop being you. Never stop caring. All right. Peace out, Rainbow Trouts.